Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. We're gonna have an interesting show today, most of which I cannot talk about on YouTube because they'll probably kick me off the platform for talking about it. So we will jump over exclusively to Epic TV after like 20 minutes today-ish. But I'm gonna start by going into what's happening with Twitter and the censorship establishment. I think we're seeing why they censor Twitter now. And no, it's not because of hateful content and so on. Actually, Elon Musk is doing incredible work, even going after child sexual abuse imagery, which was previously allowed to exist on Twitter for some weird reason. And Musk is now targeting it. And people have noted that a lot of the accounts and hashtags that once promoted this stuff are now gone. One sec. Is our mic messed up? Sorry. Let me double check the mic, folks. We all good? All right, we good, good. Sorry about that. Audio's funky. Let me check my mic. That's weird. All right, folks. I'm getting people saying the mic is messed up. Oh, that's why. I apologize for that. I had it pointing to the wrong setting. Pause. Sorry about that, folks. Okay, back to the point. We're going to have a great show today. I'm going to talk about a few things, much of which I cannot really talk about on YouTube. So we will jump over exclusively to Epic TV after about 25-ish minutes, roughly. 20, maybe. We'll see. But basically, folks, well, the stuff I can't talk about on YouTube, the election in Arizona has been deemed uncertifiable. And the attorney general there is actually asking now for different types of evidence and information that could actually be extremely incriminating against the people in Maricopa County, in particular, where you've been having a lot of these issues. And very likely, in my personal opinion, has a very strong chance of actually overturning the elections and probably having Kerry Lake win, and maybe even putting some people in prison, which would be wonderful when it comes to election fraud, in my opinion. You now have four different counties that are saying they will not certify the elections in Arizona. And I'm going to show you the actual letter and the actual anomalies and the actual facts saying exactly why they are taking this stance. In other words, it's not just some random rumor. It's not just like a whim. They have real evidence for it. They have real legitimate concerns for it. And I'm going to show you the original sources on that today. But what we can talk about on YouTube before we jump over, I want to go into something else that's actually pretty big, which is we're starting to see, I think, why, frankly, the establishment does not want Twitter to be opened up to free speech. Because we're watching now what happens when people can speak freely. One of the big things we're watching is that one, the bodies, the powers that be, become major targets for criticism. They're under increased scrutiny, and they can't just say whatever the heck they want, and they can't get away with random stuff, and they can't lie to people without being fact-checked and called out for it. They are on the defense. It's incredible to watch actually what's happening on Twitter. That's the magic of the marketplace of ideas as the founding fathers viewed it. And basically, what we've had for a very long time is falsehoods that have been deemed unchallengeable. We've been dealing with a perverse society where fake ideas and bad ideas can be presented and nobody's allowed to criticize them. And because people have gotten so used to being not criticized for doing things that are misleading or manipulative or just outright false for political purposes, and they tried to silence all criticism of that, they've gotten used to it. And now that that body to protect them from the angry mobs of the world is now gone, they're freaking out. And I can tell you right now that if this trend continues, I don't believe the establishment can survive. I don't think they can survive in an environment where you have free speech. That brings us to the big, and funny enough, folks, get this. They're saying, oh, abusive content, harmful content. Elon Musk has started getting rid of the child sexual abuse content that somehow was able to spread around Twitter, that somehow was common on the platform. Why is it that they could, go after average citizens for saying mean things on the internet, but child sexual abuse imagery was somehow able to go around the platform? Elon Musk has made this one of his top priorities, getting rid of that. The platform, in my opinion, is more safe now, if you want to talk about safety, especially safety for children. It's absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion, but I'll be showing you some of that. The big thing, though, Musk is going to have his big trial by fire soon, because the European Union is coming after him, and they're saying, Musk, you have to censor. We'll see which way he goes. I'm going to give my take on it. I'm going to show you what's happening with that. It's going to be a very interesting show today, folks, so stick around. Real brief, again, I will jump over exclusively to Epic TV after about 20-ish minutes today, because I want to talk about what's happening with the elections and election fraud. YouTube will either give me a strike or just delete my videos. They deleted our entire Crossroads Highlights channel over smaller things than this, so... You know, come join us on Epic TV. That said, we're actually making it so that you can watch. We'll give you 30-day free trials now for Crossroads and so on. So if you're on YouTube, you want to just watch the show or watch the documentaries, I think they have some of them on there as well. Come over, check it out. Again, uncensored platform. It's fantastic. Come join us. That said, folks, let's talk briefly about what's happening on Twitter. I want to start by something very interesting. I'm thinking YouTube might be unhappy with this as well, but they have to just deal with it. Twitter has, Elon Musk gave Trump his Twitter account back. And Trump has basically said he's not going to use Twitter, and he explained why he's not going to use Twitter. I'll show you that in a minute. But something else interesting happened, which is while Trump is not using Twitter, the restored tweets, the ones that he last made, were right ahead of January 6th, or right around January 6th, and ironically show the very thing that is, well, that the left has been trying to censor. The fact that Trump told people to be peaceful, to not cause problems, and to go home. Really debunking the basis of the entire January 6th argument. I'm going to show you this in a minute. But first, though, folks, let me show you what Reuters is saying. They're saying Trump snubs Twitter after Musk announces reactivation of ex-president's account. And it says here that Donald Trump on Saturday said he had no interest in returning to Twitter, even as a slim majority voted in favor of reinstating the former president. The slim majority was like over 10 million people voted, and who knows how many bots voted against him. Elon Musk did suggest in a tweet that he's actually using that to monitor for Twitter bots. We'll see what happens with that as well. But they're saying that Trump was banned from social media service for inciting violence. Absolutely false claim made by Reuters. This is ridiculous, fake clown journalism by Reuters right here. Because you can look at Trump's account. He did not incite violence. He specifically told people to be peaceful and to go home. I'll show you that in a minute, but it's beside the point. They're saying, of course, Elon Musk held a poll on Twitter, and he used that poll to let the people vote on whether they wanted Trump's account restored. It says slightly over 15 million Twitter users voted in the poll, with 51.8% voting in favor of reinstatement. And then Musk tweeted, "The people have spoken. Trump will be reinstated." But let me show you a video real quick of what Trump is saying about this, because Trump doesn't seem like he's interested in it. Let me just play this video for you, and you can see why Trump is not going to go back to Twitter. At least what he's saying now. We'll see.
I do like him. I've always really, he's a character, and I tend to like characters, but he's smart. He did put up a poll, and I hear it's very overwhelming, very strong, but I have something called Trump. If you look, it's Trump-owned, but it's really fantastic. Truth Social. And Truth Social is through the roof. It's doing phenomenally well. The press hates to talk about it, but it's doing phenomenally well. I think engagement is much better than it is with Twitter. And I'll be staying there. But I hear we're getting a big vote to also go back on Twitter. I don't see it because I don't see any reason for it. They have a lot of problems at Twitter. You see what's going on. It may make it. It may not make it. But the problems are incredible. The engagements are negative, and you have a lot of bots and you have a lot of fake accounts, which I think they should get on. But Truth Social has taken the place for a lot of people, and I don't see them going back onto Twitter.
Now, of course, that's Trump's statement. His main thing is that Trump, of course, launched Truth Social, his own social media platform, very similar to Twitter, and I think Trump wants to make that the primary place. Realistically, once Trump actually starts campaigning and once things take off, people probably will go more to Truth Social. Trump's aware that his very presence on a social media platform is going to work as a type of like gravitational pull for people to go and see what the heck he's talking about. Now, that's especially going to be the case if he wins the Republican nomination. Big updates on that as well. Rasmussen poll came out. We'll talk about it later. Basically, remember the big battle you're having with Republicans, well, within the Republican Party right now? The Republican establishment is blaming Trump for midterm losses. The midterms actually, at this point, have turned out better than Republicans initially thought they would. You have about 219 House seats going to Republicans. They have the majority by one seat. They're projected to actually win more seats. They were never really projected to win the Senate. That only changed really just in the couple weeks leading up to the midterms, where, again, you know, of course, polling and stuff suggested there was going to be a red tsunami. That got people excited. The red tsunami didn't happen. People got despondent. The establishment blamed Trump for it, and the rest is history. Trump, of course, blamed Mitch McConnell for not backing up his endorsed candidates and for what he claimed to be basically just sabotaging the party from within. A new poll found that actually the public largely agrees with Trump, not McConnell. They blame McConnell, not Trump. Very interesting stuff, especially in terms of where the Republican Party is heading. It is no longer the establishment party. It is now a new party. Now, back to Twitter, though, I want to talk about something important. I'm going to get into some of the details of what I've been just basically discussing now. But one of the big trials by fire Elon Musk is going to face, and maybe this is one of the things Trump was referring to when he said Twitter's facing a lot of issues, Musk is facing incredible pressure to bring censorship back to the platform. And I'm going to show you, one, what he's facing, and two, why I think they don't want him to keep the platform uncensored. Because frankly, I don't think they can. I've said it before, just a bit ago, I'll say it again. I do not think the establishment can survive without censorship. I don't think they will survive unless they can prevent people from speaking freely with one another. First though, folks, we do have a sponsor today. Today's episode is brought to you by Secure. Now, over 155 million Americans are affected by data leaks in 2020. The average American had their personal data stolen about 4 times over the year. People get anxious because they can't protect their online data and activity. But now there's a new email and messenger app called Secure. That's S-E-K-U-R. That can give privacy and security for sending emails and messages. Secure's server and data center are hosted in Switzerland, which has the strictest data privacy laws in the world. Secure does not rely on big tech companies like Amazon, Google, or Microsoft, which also means it's not subject to the Intrusive Cloud Act. Secure does not ask for your phone number, mine your data, or upload your contacts. Now, folks, it's $5 for the messenger, $7 for the email, or only $10 for the email and messenger package. You can visit secure.com today for a free 7-day trial, or you can use the promo code Joshua to get 25% off. And folks, big thanks out to Secure for sponsoring today's episode. Now, let's go back into what's happening right now. Yeah, Dade Johnson, you're mentioning Meta is tanking. That's Facebook. TikTok is doing pretty dang well, but even the Democrats are talking about banning TikTok now. If Facebook fails, if Meta fails, frankly, in my personal opinion, if censorship comes back to Twitter, Twitter is going to fail. You're going to be left with an environment where you just have Truth Social, Gab, you know, Parler. Kanye West just bought Parler. And Kanye is actually, apparently, he just announced his run for president as well. Remember, he had the birthday party last time around. Kanye is going to be running for president again. We'll see what happens with him. It's interesting times we're in. But folks, let me show you real fast what is happening on with the pressure for Twitter to censor yet again. Zero Hedge has this story. They say, not so fast, Elon. Europe warns Elon Musk, must hire hundreds of moderators to limit free speech. And it says at a time when Musk is cutting hundreds, if not thousands, of workers on a weekly basis, he has 50 workers now. Elon Musk fired like 7,000 Twitter employees. The screaming at the sky has been magnificent. He kept like 50 people, and the company runs better than it ever has, bringing, I think, really serious questions of what were those ever other like 7,000 people even doing. It's incredible. Back to the point, though. They're saying early on Friday, Europe delivered some unexpected news to the world's richest man. According to Thierry Breton, the EU, European Union's internal market commissioner, right? They're saying Musk will have to increase the number of moderators in Europe, a continent which long ago gave up all pretense of having free speech. back to the pre-French Revolution era, they haven't had free speech properly. They say he is in the process of reducing a certain number of moderators, but he will have to increase them in Europe, Breton told news outlet in an interview. And Breton added that Musk will have to open his algorithms. What? He's going to have to open his algorithms? You know what that means, right? It means that Musk needs to open up, not only recruit people to censor for, you know, to appease their European leaders, but he has to open up the algorithms, the very technology that would filter content to people. This is the kind of stuff the Chinese Communist Party does in Britain. The European Union wants Musk to do it. They say Musk will have to open his algorithms. We will have control. We will have access. People will no longer be able to say rubbish. The European Union says we will have control over Twitter. We will have access. And they are saying people will not be able to say rubbish. Bizarre comments come from folks in the European Union. It says by rubbish, he means anything that Europe's unelected technocrats disagree with, which these days is anything not endorsed by the World Economic Forum. This is, of course, the opinion of this story on Zero Hedge. It says Breton earlier warned that Twitter would have to fly by our rules. I talked about this previously, actually. Shortly after Musk closed his $44 billion takeover last month, the European Union's Digital Services Act gives governments power to enforce rules governing how they moderate content, these technology companies, and to decide when they must take down illegal content. The DSA, and apparently child porn, was not on their list because that was able to proliferate on the platform until just recently when Musk actually started censoring it. Lo and behold, right? They couldn't say mean things on it, but that kind of content was able to be there until recently. But the European Union doesn't seem concerned about that, interestingly. It says the EU's Digital Services Act gives governments power to enforce rules governing how tech companies moderate content and to decide when they must take down illegal content, which is illegal speech, for example, not like child pornography, apparently. It says the DSA specifically will also force companies to moderate content in the languages they operate in, according to Bloomberg. If Musk does not comply, Twitter will face fines as much as 6% of annual sales, which, keep in mind, for big companies sometimes is a pretty good chunk of their profits, and could even be banned. Breton said he had proposed establishing a working relationship with Musk to discuss Europe's expectations of the social media platform. And he said, quote, he knows perfectly well that the conditions are for Twitter to continue operating in Europe, and he's right. They're saying Europe is one so-called democracy where nobody pretends there is freedom of speech, even as it bashes authoritarian countries like China and Russia. And sadly, it's a preview of what's to come in the U.S. Now, what is this? What are we going to? What's happening here? I should note that France actually tried doing the same thing against Rumble. Rumble is, of course, actually Crosswords is on Rumble as well. Rumble is like an uncensored YouTube, or not as censored YouTube. France actually sent a letter to Rumble requesting that they begin censoring content. Rumble said, we're going to cancel their services in France. By doing that, Rumble actually sent a very interesting message to the French people. On one side, it means that anytime someone in France tries to visit a website run by, you know, video on Rumble, they'll be met with a page telling them something along the lines that, you know, your service cannot be viewed in Europe. Your service cannot, this video cannot be viewed in France. It makes people on a fundamental level aware that they do not live in a free country. It makes people aware on a fundamental level that their government is censoring information that they deem that they personally would like to view. If, for example, you or I, you know, click on a link because we want to view a video or because we want to view a tweet, typically that means that we have used our own judgment and we believe in our own judgment. We want to look at it, we want to see what it is, and we want to make our own assessment. When you have an external authority telling you you cannot do that, or the service has to block itself for your entire country because your government says you should not be able to view this unless we can censor it, what that does is it fundamentally breaks part of this illusion. It makes people aware that censorship does exist. There's certain information that I'm not allowed to view. And the reason I'm not allowed to view this content is because for some reason, unfiltered content is not allowed in the country I reside. I'm talking, of course, about Europe, not the US. That type of fundamental shift in thinking is actually very, I think, very important in a funny way. And by taking that stance, Rumble actually, I think, is actually probably going to force the French government to reassess this. Musk is going to be faced with a similar situation. And, Rumble is one thing, Twitter is another. If, for example, Musk decides to just cancel Twitter for all of Europe, it is going to be a shot over the bow to all these European countries because it's going to make them look like tyrants. It's going to make Europe look like an unfree, union of states. It's going to make them look like what they are, countries that do not allow free speech. And when people become aware that they actually do live in countries that do not allow for free speech, people become aware of this. And as they become aware of this, I think that fundamental awakening becomes damaging to the powers that be. He also has the another choice, for example, to selectively filter content. Maybe have, IP, basically censorship is based on your IP address, meaning like the identifier for your personal internet connection. Your IP address, your phone has an IP address, your computer has an IP address. Your IP address says your country of origin and your relative location. You can use VPNs to change your IP address and bounce your signal off to other countries, which is actually an interesting way of getting around it. A lot of platforms actually do moderate content differently for different countries. Netflix, for example, might offer different videos based on the country because of copyright issues or different changes in how videos can be purchased and shown to the public. In other words, the technology for that already exists. Musk does have the choice not of just an outright ban, but of censorship based on IP addresses, meaning that Americans might get free, free Twitter and open Twitter, and Europeans might have to deal with, the state-controlled, state-censored one. It's unclear whether Musk would take that stance, because what the European Union is asking for is not just the ability to censor, but the ability to control the actual algorithms. The actual processes through which content is delivered to, shown to people based on the different, how they judge what you should or should not be shown, essentially, right? In other words, I don't think even filtering by IP address would work in the specific case that the European Union is demanding. Or he has a choice to fold to Europe. And that's going to raise a very interesting question. Which is, and for me, this is a big question. Should content online, right? Should the types of information we are exposed to be limited, right? The content viewable in every single nation on earth, should it be limited to what the least free countries demand? Should Americans be subject to European censorship? If the European Union deems that their own people shouldn't see things, but we have different laws in America allowing us to see that content, should we fold to the European Union? What happens if you have a free platform that exists, let's say in the United States, a US-based company, and some random you know, communist or socialist regime decides that people shouldn't see certain content, should that random regime be able to dictate what is shown to the entire world? Now, I'm not calling, well, I'm not calling most countries in Europe socialist regimes. Some are. But, of course, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to control the content viewable not just in Europe, but viewable everywhere, essentially. And what is that creating for the world? What kind of socialist, you know, Stalinist state are we moving towards if our freedom is limited to the rules of the least free countries, where the least free countries can dictate the freedoms of free countries? It is bizarre, and I'm wondering how Musk is going to solve this. This is really Musk's big trial of fire. Again, you know, we'll see how he handles it. At the same time, though, and I want to show this before we jump over. I know I'm going a bit long, but I want to go into what's happening in Arizona and with Carrie Lake, and they're not going to certify the elections in Arizona. You're going to have a new process, and they're going to investigate it, and there could be criminal charges. I'll show you all that in a minute, but I want to finish up this because I want to show you something else. Because, folks, frankly, there are pretty clear reasons, I think, on why the establishment does not want people to have access to free information. And Twitter, interestingly, right now, is becoming a very clear example of this. People are pointing out something interesting, right? I'll start from the top. People are pointing out that even though Trump has not gotten back on Twitter, he hasn't started tweeting again, his restored tweets are destroying the narrative on January 6th, where they said, even as Reuters just reported, they're claiming that Trump incited violence. Trump did not incite violence. Trump actually was calling for people to be peaceful. As Trump was calling for people to be peaceful, to go home, to not harm police, to not fight, as he was calling for that, and whereas they're saying he did the opposite, as he was calling for that, Twitter deleted his tweets. And those deleted tweets are now once again viewable so people can see the facts with their own eyes. And let me show you his tweets. This is one of them. Trump said on January 6th, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful. Folks, is that inciting violence? Another tweet. I am asking everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you. Is that inciting violence? He even has the full video where Trump posts an actual video telling people to be peaceful. He tells them, I understand why you're there. I understand your concerns. This is not the way to do it. You know, you can't be doing this. You have to go home. Please go home. And then Twitter deleted his video. And then the entire censorship establishment went and lied to you about what he said. They interpreted what he said through their own distorted filter. And they told people the opposite. They said rather than saying be peaceful, go home, they said Trump incited violence. And I just showed you at the beginning of this video episode where Reuters, even in a recent article, claims that Trump incited violence. You tell me, folks, was that incitement? You know, let me play this video. I know I played it one time before, but let me play this video so you can see exactly what Trump said.
The heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. In so doing, I was fighting to defend American democracy. I continue to strongly believe that we must reform our election laws to verify the identity and eligibility of all voters and to ensure faith and confidence in all future elections. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. 2020 has been a challenging time for our people. A menacing pandemic has upended the lives of our citizens, isolated millions in their homes, damaged our economy, and claimed countless lives. Defeating this pandemic and rebuilding the greatest economy on earth will require all of us working together. It will require a renewed emphasis on the civic values of patriotism.
You get the idea. Is that incitement of violence? Why did they delete that? Why did they delete the tweets where Trump told people to be peaceful and go home? Why did they delete the video where Trump said he deployed the National Guard and asked him to expel people from the Capitol building? And he said people who broke the law will be held accountable. Why did he tell people not to attack police and said, we are the party of law and order? Well, was that incitement? In my opinion, the reason they need to censor this is because they tried claiming that Trump did something he did not do. And his public statements demonstrate that he did not do what they accused him of doing. They're deleting the evidence. They're removing the evidence, and they're trying to frame reality as something completely different. And in framing reality as something completely different, they're using it to, you know, launch this whole domestic terror operation, you know, a counter domestic terror operation and so on. They're propping up a fake image, an entire fake narrative. And that brings us to the point of why I think free speech is frankly dangerous to the establishment, is because they are lying to you. They have been lying to you. They've been lying to you for more than 2 years now. Well, longer than that, but on this at least, right? Almost 2 years with January 6th. Folks, something interesting is happening on Twitter, and I don't want to bang the gong on Twitter too much because it might, you know, might go south still. You know, we'll see how Musk deals with the European Union, and we'll see, frankly, how he deals with the establishment, because they're attacking him pretty relentlessly. He seems to be aware of what he's up against, and we'll see how or if he tries to appease them, right? We'll see what happens with that. But people are pointing out something very important on Twitter, which is it is reverting the internet in some regards back to the way things were back in 2016, back when Trump was basically cited as winning the election based on social media, actually, Twitter and Facebook mostly. Anti-establishment views are dominating. They are the dominating voices on Twitter right now. And the establishment views, they're under attack. They're on the defense. You had the Anti-Defamation League, try to attack Elon Musk. We want a big thing on it. Musk responded by saying, stop defaming me. And then ADL, as in Anti-Defamation League, started trending because people were making fun of them. It's basically representing the very thing they try to stop, or the claim to represent that they stop, defamation. That they dedicate their platform to attacking people and defaming people while claiming that they're the Anti-Defamation League. It's one of those, you know, freedom is slavery, war is peace kind of things. Some of the keywords that were trending on Twitter were died suddenly. Actually, a great documentary, you folks. It came out last night. Died suddenly. I personally recommend watching that. It's actually really good. I was impressed. It was very well done. Where they interview actually they interview morticians about these, they call them blood clots, but they don't know what the heck they are. These fibrous bands they're pulling out of people's hearts and necks, and people think is being caused partly by the vaccines. Not just these fibrous bands, but even like dirty blood, like micro clots, where people's blood looks like it has like coffee grinds in it. It's honestly a pretty graphic and disturbing video. If you get queasy with like blood and a bit of gore, you might not want to watch it, but the information is actually pretty dang important. died suddenly. I do recommend watching it. I watched the whole thing last night. But that was trending on Twitter, for example. That would not have been allowed to trend on Twitter before this. Other things trending on there were VAERS, you know, the virus injury database. Clinton's Democrats are corrupt was trending as a hashtag. Bill Gates was trending. They're not closing this stuff off anymore. And again, the dominating topics and dominating voices are becoming these types of topics. And it's going to continue on this. We're witnessing now the beginning, not the stasis level. We're watching the things begin to develop, and this is where it's heading right now. Musk has even been restoring a lot of accounts. Jordan Peterson, Project Veritas, Babylon Bee, Kanye West is back on there despite everything. Alex Jones, I think, is the only one that Musk is kind of holding off on restoring. There's been a lot of debate around that. Musk seems very solid on not restoring it, but we'll see. Musk, in a couple tweets, claimed that, I think he personally has a disagreement with Jones questioning the, of course, the school shooting, the Sandy Hook school shooting. Musk claimed that, you know, he held his own son in his arms as he died, and he said he felt his heartbeat stop. And so crimes against children are very big for Musk, and Musk, I think, very much disagrees with Alex Jones for questioning Sandy Hook. But people are, of course, criticizing Musk on that. They're criticizing Musk specifically for basically censoring based on his own personal emotions. We'll see what happens with it. But aside from that, he is restoring most other accounts. And it's been incredible to watch, actually. Again, we'll see what happens with it, folks, but that's where things are at. Let's jump over to Epic TV. I want to talk briefly, folks, some Epstein names are going to be released. 8 names on Jeffrey Epstein's list. It looks like it's a bit politically motivated. We'll see what that ends up being, but I'll talk about that briefly. Then we'll go into what's happening in Arizona. Before we jump over to Epic TV, though, folks, again, if you haven't seen my documentary, the new one, The Final War, please watch it. A ton of work. This documentary took longer than any one I've done so far. This was over 2 years, roughly 2 years in the making. A lot of work, an incredible amount of research. And this documentary is kind of like part two of the virus documentary I did at the beginning of the pandemic. This is, whereas the virus documentary I did, investigating the origins of the Wuhan coronavirus, which you can find on the Epoch Times homepage, that documentary really made the case of the virus origin in China and very likely from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That one, of course, touched on the idea that the CCP even seeded the virus around the world. This new documentary explains why they would intend to do such a thing. Why would the CCP do such a thing? I think this will answer some core questions for those wondering about that. And it shows also deeper context behind a lot of the other things we're watching on the surface, such as the Taliban and them meeting with the CCP, such as the war in Ukraine, such as kind of what's happening behind the scenes with corruption and so on. This documentary, I think, will answer a lot of questions. If you haven't seen it yet, again, it's called The Final War. It's on Epic TV. Please watch it, and then please share it. Let me show you a trailer of that, then we'll jump over to Epic TV.
The greatest threat facing the United States is the CCP.
The Epic Times investigation team had studied the CCP for years, but what we uncovered was yielding evidence beyond our imagination.
With Chairman Mao, with the Prime Minister, our talks have been characterized by frankness.
The Clinton administration said, oh, don't worry about it. This will be a poison pill for China.
China's strategic goal is to make sure that the U.S. has 4 enemies, and one of them must be a terrorist group.
We are giving of our life's blood so that the Chinese Communist Party can survive and thrive.
All right, folks, again, that is exclusively on Epic TV. Please watch it and please share it. It really helps us out a lot, too. That says, jump over to Epic TV, folks. I will see you there. And thank you all for being here as well. Those of you curious as well, I'm drinking ginseng tea today, one of my favorites, as I'm sure you all know. So, yeah, wild times we're in. But, you know, I think the tides are turning to some extent. But I'm going to show you some more stuff. Give me a sec. Interesting update.